It's a new day. Yes, it is.
The Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket.
Welcome back to the Playground right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket. We are now joined in studio by Brian Cook of MGO Blog. That's you. You started this thing how long ago?
About 10 years.
10 years ago. Yeah. You are the unofficial official guy of Michigan football.
What does that mean?
That means, like, everyone listens to you, but the universities, like, they listen to you too, but they'll never say they listen to you.
Well, nobody's ever told me that the universities listen to me, but...
I would think so.
Well, they might check me to see what the pulse of the fan base is, we could possibly say.
Okay, yeah, probably in the past, it's, they've gone there to make sure...
Right, like, get the fans... overall take on the direction of the program.
Right.
Not so good a couple of years ago. Much better these days.
Oh, very true. All right, your thoughts on the game. You are the man to talk to about Michigan football. So I'm going to just let you go ahead. Your microphone is open. Talk to us about yesterday's game.
I thought that the spate pick at the beginning of the third quarter really kind of turned it from a pending blowout into the game it was. So Michigan ends up kind of in this weird situation where they've won the game. Somebody tweeted at me that their win percentage never dropped below 92% in the second half.
Okay.
But it's not enough of a blowout that you can just go, like, run flea flickers to run it up. And you kind of have to just run the ball a couple times and run the clock, and then you'll get a first down. And as long as you do that, you're going to win. So they had to play conservatively on both sides of the ball because that was the correct approach to get the W. And then they had some breakdowns in the secondary, and Taco Charlton was repeatedly tackled with no call. And that's kind of why this game tightened up, but this game was not really ever close. It was just kind of one of those
weird... Kind of in this weird purgatory kind
of
position.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You know?
Like, I wanted to, like, just, you know, blow the doors off them, but they kind of saved up that all that stuff in the first drive that they hadn't shown all year. And I underestimated that because I thought... You know, when you have an opportunity to actually win some of these games, that you might try to do that, but they didn't. So I'm much less, I think, peeved than a couple of people who were in my mentions on Twitter, and I think you guys got some calls. So you get a win, and on the same day that Ohio State beats Northwestern by 4 at home, I'm not gonna criticize this win.
I wanted to ask your thoughts, Brian, on Michigan State's offensive line, because I was really shocked at how well they played, considering the rotation throughout the year of there, and they did a really good job in pass protection against the defensive line.
Well, I haven't looked at all the film yet, so offensive line is really tough for anyone to pick up live because there's so many moving parts. I was surprised as well. You know, one thing that I did see is Monet kind of limped off, so you know, maybe early when he was in, he wasn't at full strength. And then Chase Winovich is not the right guy right now against big formations, and he got some early time. And I think that was part of the success. And then, you know, Michigan's tackling on L.J. Scott was really poor. So that's something that is a major concern that they will have to work on. As far as the pass protection, you know, I mentioned Taco Charlton. He was getting around the edge all day and wasn't getting paid off for it for reasons that frustrate me. So I think that when I look at the film, I'll probably have a lot of reps minuses in this game.
How often did you yell at the TV?
I was actually at the game.
So how often did you yell at a Spartan in front of you?
I think I called a couple of calls horse blank.
Okay.
But it was a relatively calm game. Even the Michigan State fans around me, and there weren't many because I was in the Michigan section.
Okay.
Were relatively, like, they just kind of expected what was going to happen to happen. And they got their hopes up a little bit as that kind of comeback came in the fourth quarter. But it wasn't really a very tense game.
What about when they were up, you know, that first drive, they were up 7-0. Did you see some of the Spartan fans kind of think, this is hope, we have hope in winning this game?
And no.
You people who sold your tickets, how dare you? You should be here with us.
No, I mean, there was some celebration, but there wasn't any of, like, there was no smack talking. There was no Michigan State fans, like, turning
around.
They
kind of expected their fate to some degree.
Yeah.
Even with that initial touchdown, like, I never got the sense that, like, oh, Michigan State, this will propel them forward.
Well, if they had gone up 2 scores, and I think you might have seen a lot of that. But they held their water there, and that was probably wise.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're a fan of a team that's lost to Indiana, Northwestern, Maryland, and BYU in 1 year.
In a row.
You have to take what you can get.
Yeah. Right. They might have left after the 7. Like, all right, we won. We're out of here. That's the best we're going to see from this game. All right, your thoughts on the 2-point conversion? Because if there's anyone to ask, it's you. And
yeah.
Why go for 2 there?
Because you're trying to run up the score in a loss. That was the entire fourth quarter. Is Mark D'Antonio running up the score in a loss? That's what it was.
It's a way to put it.
All right, yeah, because they score 13, which go for 2, and really, yeah, you still lose the game, but
well, they conceded the game when they went for that field goal. Mm-hmm. Like they're down 3 scores. It's the fourth quarter.
They would have been down, I think, 9 points anyway.
Well, they were down 20, so they kicked that. They would have been down 17.
Yeah.
In the aftermath of the game, D'Antonio says that it would have been a 2-score game, and I'm like, no, it's not the way math works.
Right.
You shouldn't have canceled
right.
algebra, Michigan State University.
That's right. They did.
All right. So your thoughts on Wilton Spate throughout the year? Your thoughts on him, and then coming into this game, and then this game itself.
Well, you know, I'm much more confident in him after this game. You know, he had the bad pick, and he had a couple throws that he got bailed out on by his wide receivers. Darbo, in particular, had an awesome game. But I have this confidence when he drops back now that wasn't there earlier in the year. He wasn't as good as he was last week. But I think the defense was tougher this week, even though Michigan State is kind of all over the place. And I think this is another step towards kind of that Rudock trajectory that we all want to see. And I kind of have confidence he's going to get there, which is a weird feeling, because before the bye week, I was like, I don't know about this guy. But never doubt Jim Harbaugh with a quarterback.
Yeah, very true. Can you name the guy who was the first guy on your site to say this would be the starting quarterback? Can you give us his name?
Was it you?
No, it wasn't. I don't know. You said it was somebody.
Oh.
Somebody that, would, that there, was really close.
There was an insider on 24/7, I think, named UM Big 11, who was like, it's going to be Spate. He's the guy.
Right. And then everybody's, oh, yeah, that's what I think, too.
Well, I mean, it was one of those things where I think the decision had been made, and then it quickly kind of spread because – not only were people repeating what that guy said, but they were also getting it from other places.
Okay. So. All right. Well, yeah. No, I that's the first place I saw it was on MGo blog, and then it was just it seemed like everybody started changing their mind that it's not gonna be O'Korn.
I think it was actually Rivals who reported it first, which is unusual, but credit where due. They were first on that.
All right. So you were there. You were enjoying it. Paul Bunyan comes back to Michigan. Your thoughts on Paul coming back to Michigan? Are we looking the other way? We're keeping Paul for a while.
I you'd think so. I mean, because Michigan is going to be a really good team as long as Jim Harbaugh's here. You might have a blip next year because Michigan had those back to back classes of 14 and 17 guys that weren't really all that highly rated. But Michigan is doing all they can to get as many dudes in this class. They had a 27-man class that looks like it's really panning out. So I think with Michigan State, you're seeing a ceiling on their recruiting, especially with Harbaugh in town. Like, if they get 0 of the top 8 recruits in Michigan and 7 of those guys go to Michigan, it's going to be really hard for them to compete. Because that's like take Donnie Corley off their team, take Malik McDowell off their team, put him on Michigan. That team is not going to be able to keep pace with Harbaugh. And, I have a lot of respect for what D'Antonio has managed to do. But, the sad fact of it for Michigan is that they had Brady Hoke and they had Rich Rodriguez for those years. And they took advantage, but they're not going to be able to do that going forward.
All right, so you think they'll be middle of the Big Ten now? It's kind of, unless they get something, like McDowell was one of those guys who really, he fought his family to get there.
Yeah, and they had a good class last year. They had a number of 4-star recruits, especially at wide receiver and defensive line. But if you look at their class this year, it's like they got a couple of guys, but most of them are just kind of like random dudes out of nowhere. And if Michigan has both the coaching and the recruiting, it's going to be tough for them to overcome. Michigan had the recruiting for portions of the last 7 years, but never had the coaching.
Right, right, exactly.
So when you put those two things together, then you're getting a program that looks like Ohio State, looks like Bama. And we see what happens when Michigan State goes up against a fully weaponized blue blood power. they don't score.
Right. Yeah, very true. Very true. So looking down the road, what are some of the things that they need to fix going into next week and especially into Iowa? Defensively, offensively?
You know the defensive stuff, like I think they need to do a better job of keeping people in the pocket. So a lot of, you know, the holding was part of it, but also like even with the hold, I think Taco probably could have kept Lewerke in the pocket and on a couple of those throws and then let that rush get home. You know, they kind of had some issues with that earlier in the year, and I think they're going to have to work on that. Tackling.
Yeah, yes, especially, yeah.
I mean, of L.J. Scott's, like, what, 120-some yards, probably half of those were after he should have been stopped at or near the line of scrimmage, but you know, Gedeon missed a tackle, Stribling had a rough day. So
I think that first drive, he had, like, six straight carries, too, on the very first drive, and Michigan missed some tackles. And
they did, and that's something we haven't seen all year. I think L.J. Scott is probably the best back in the Big Ten.
Okay.
I know Saquon Barkley is really good, but Michigan didn't have nearly as much trouble with Barkley as they did with Scott, because I think Scott is just as elusive but 50 pounds heavier than Barkley. And, you know, I think Mike Weber's pretty decent, Curtis Samuel's pretty decent, but I don't think they're going to see a guy like Scott again.
All right. Well, we have to wrap it up. It is go time. Miz is playing the Victors over there. I want to thank Brian Cook for joining us today. He is the unofficial official guide to talk to. MGO Blog, if you haven't heard about it, I don't know where you're living. It's MGO Blog. Brian Cook. His podcast coming up shortly, right? You're going to start doing that once we get out of your way. All right. I want to thank Jeff Giles, Tony O, Matt Misler, recovering from last night from his birthday. Everyone, have a good night or a good day, and go blue.